This line is burning, turning to ashes. It hits the ear. Every step is a day in the week. It's a Sunday or Monday, March over months away.
Welcome to Nosecast. Homilies delivered in the Holy Gnosis of Thomas Chapel, the Ecclesia Gnostica, in Salt Lake City, Utah, by the Reverend Troy Pierce.
Intent today is brotherly love. This is also, many ways, a shifting point in the liturgical year. It is completed part of the year that focuses on Mary Magdalene and the Holy Sophia. Now we're turning towards a more severe part of the year, part of the year that opens with the day of the Archangel Michael, Michael. And is a more militant, more severe period. And perhaps that is why I thought of brotherly love the way that I have. I think it is often dismissed as something sort of light and feel-goody, something not to be taken very seriously. And yet, place what exists in a very true, very raw form is in soldiers at wartime. There is much that is difficult to understand. I've never been close to those situations. Although we sometimes have an image of a soldier is someone who has been trained and popped up by propaganda to go and kill the enemy. Most soldiers, though they might at times get their blood going and kill for the sake of killing, this isn't something that sustains an army or sustains a nation. It is actually the brotherly love that makes these things happen. This started way back in the very beginning of hoplite warfare. Before that, it was heroic. It was everyone for themselves. And the heroes were the ones who could afford armor and weapons, could spend their time training for such things rather than taking care of the pigs or whatever. But this all changed. The psychology and the nature of our world changed. For this became the greatest military technology innovation for many, many centuries to come. And that was, in a lot of ways, very simple. It seems obvious to us today. That is to all stand together. To protect not just ourselves with our shield, but the person to our left. Stand as a line, so that the person to our right, to our left, and ourselves aren't flanked, aren't attacked from the side or from behind. This is quite the amazing thing. The story of the 10,000. The story of Greek mercenaries in Persia who had to fight their way out back to Greece. And they did. Because of this innovation that hadn't caught on yet. This led to, or perhaps merely brought out, a deep regard for one another. In Athens, even an individual banished, given the ultimate punishment that the city could bestow. The sense had everything rubbed in their nose. Their reports, these individuals, not only coming, joined the legions as soon as they had traversed beyond the boundary point of banishment, but also of their brothers in arms, keeping their place in the ranks, carrying their armor and their weapons. Sure, certain, that they would join them. It is this type of bond that led to democracy. This bonding together to accomplish a common goal. The sense in which we are all in this together, that relies upon not just a knight in armor, whether it be the medieval or the Bronze Age sort, lies upon a community. In modern warfare, World War I, World War II, doctors found that many soldiers were shell-shocked, suffered from what we would call post-traumatic stress disorder today. And the way to get them better, at least in the sense of the armies, notion of better, which is to be able to return to their units, was not distress, patriotism, or any of these other things. For what these soldiers fought for was not abstract. What they fought for, ultimately, was one another. To go into these dangerous situations, to give your life. Can you do it for an abstract ideal? Perhaps. But people don't think of abstract ideals usually when they're in these situations. They think of those they care about, those they love. Going forth to try to protect them, try to care for them, keep them safe. In doing that, they can put themselves at great risk. This comes back to reading in our gospel today. Love thy brother as thyself. Guard him as the apple of thine eye. This points to some very deep truth that is often hard to see through the layers and centuries of interpretation and silliness. There is something very deep there. It isn't feel-good, kumbaya silliness. It is a very real truth. For in those moments, those times, when we risk our lives, we don't think of ourselves or of the other. We act. We act for us. We act without thinking. And there is no two individuals at that point. There is what connects us. And this is a deep mystery that we are pointed to in many different places and ways. That God is love, that in these deep connections we can see the eternal transcendent truth. We can sense, we can feel the presence of God. There is more. We do not merely have the sense of brotherly love that is a fake superficial kindness. And there is, as the lesson tells us, joy in coming together. There is joy in that unity that is the deep unity. It isn't the unity of agreeing with one another over what to believe. It is the unity that is the core of ourselves. the unity that is that spark of the divine, that seed of life, the unity that leads us to God. For it is joyful. There's also pleasure in it. Not the pleasure of the world, pleasure of the flesh, or even the pleasure of the mind, but the pleasure of the heart cannot be obtained except through something very real and certain, something experienced, through gnosis. And that can give us that deep pleasure. And that joy that isn't transitory joy, but also that isn't overwhelming joy. You can have overwhelming joy from time to time. It's always very nice. There is a joy that is a candle burning, not a bonfire blazing up. As the lesson says, we are the candle of the Lord, and shall shine as the sun. As the gospel says, the man of light is light, does not shine, there is darkness. We are the bearers of light in the world. We are the ones who are conscious in a way that nothing else in the universe we know of is. We bear this light. We are connected by it. It is the foundation of ourselves and of the world. The lesson says also that the root of wisdom shall never be uprooted, shall never be lost. That root is beyond the cosmos, beyond this place. We are here. We are joined deeply to one another. We are joined deeply to God, the divine. We are part of the world. We are part of what is long before will be long after the world. What extends, transcends the world. And that is what joins us together in all the deep forms of love. The gospel says, I shall choose you one out of 1,000. And 2 out of 10,000, you shall stand as a single one. It is hard to accomplish much on this path merely by oneself. There is much in the way of a community, even if there are but one or two, because there are texts, there is tradition, there is art. There are wonderful things, profound things, difficult and challenging things. A child will usually think that they are all grown up, whatever age they are at. At least starting at the age of 2 or so. There are exceptions. And left merely to ourselves, we will think we are all spiritually mature, spiritually grown up. Or we'll feel as though we are not. We're not even on our path. We have dry seasons, periods where things don't make sense. Or if there are parts of the tradition we don't really connect to. And yet it is in being a part of this ancient, continual community that can help us on our way. We are a part of the Gnostic community. It stretches back to the time of Christ. There is no distinction of ancient and modern Gnostic. You seek Gnosis. You are following that path. You are aware of Gnosis of that connection. Then you know, brothers and sisters, are not merely those alive now. They extend back. They are not merely those who might call themselves Gnostics, or who others might call Gnostics. But there are mystics, poets, artists, psychologists, writers, philosophers, many that we can learn from, that we can measure ourselves against, that we can use as guides, that we can engage in a deep conversation with. They can provoke us. They can challenge us. And take us further. Left to our own devices, we might feel good about where we're at. We might not. We might feel very bad. It is hard to see the whole picture by oneself. But there are those who have gone before us, who have come up with techniques, who have found ways of expressing what they have found, and the wisdom they have to pass on to us. We can partake of that. It is there, it is ours. And a part of brotherly love is respect. Respecting the work of those who have gone before us. It's a part of that. Respecting it enough to give it our attention, to turn our consciousness and our regard to it, and be willing to be transformed by it, to enter into that great conversation of the ages, stretching back beyond where we can see. That is how we as human beings progress and grow. Jung wrote that in solitude we find light, in community, warmth. The Buddha wrote the four pillars. One of them is Dharma. One of them is the Buddha. But one of them is the Sangha, the community of fellow seekers. We must avail ourselves of the tools we have before us to be willing to be enriched by the treasures that have been granted us. We are so privileged to have these texts, so privileged to have such easy access to them. And with privilege comes, of course, a lesser regard. It's just human nature. You don't have to pay and struggle for something. Well, part of us that weighs the cost of things just will never quite catch up with the fact that it's valuable. But these things are. There's nothing truer, nothing more valuable, nothing more important than your spiritual path, than your growth, in your pursuit of Gnosis, liberation, transformation. Everything else will pass away. That is the only eternal treasure we can add to. And in a very deep way, that can transform the world and more than the world. We cannot do it alone. We do it standing in ranks, those who've gone before us, those who are with us in the world today, those who are near us, those who are distant from us. We are all in this together. It is the destination we seek, not the style of our progress. May the mystery that which hangs fixed heaven upon us. For more information and resources on Gnosticism, visit the Gnosis Archive at gnosis.org. That's GNOSIS.org. And the Gnosis Institute at gnosisinstitute.org. If you'd like to continue receiving these podcasts, please consider a voluntary subscription of either $13 or $25 a year. That's $1 to $2 a month to make it possible to continue to provide this service. Thank you.